Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Eye on the Illini, and the last one we will do in the regular season of the football season, and what a way to finish up. 47-14, Illinois crushing Northwestern to get the Land of Lincoln hat for the first time since 2014. Joining us now from Memorial Stadium is Matt Stevens, the Illini Guys football writer and analyst. And Matt, you know, we've talked all year long about what Brett Bielema is trying to do with this team, the progress. We could see them making some strides from week one and moving on to the season. It seemed to all finally come together on this afternoon.
Yeah, I think there was a motivation today to win a trophy game for the first time since 2014, to win a trophy that they honestly never won, because it used to be the Sweet Sioux Tomahawk. And then once they made it the Land of Lincoln Hat Trophy, it's been in Evanston the entire time. Six straight years that Northwestern's beaten Illinois. And you got six-year guys, fifth-year guys, fourth-year guys, a whole bunch of guys today that were honored on senior day that have never won that trophy. And I think, like the Iowa game last week, which they weren't able to accomplish, I don't think these guys wanted to leave their career having never beaten Northwestern. Now, they'll leave their career having never beaten Wisconsin and having never beaten Iowa, but that's it. And you got guys like Doug Kramer, who's from the Chicagoland area, who gets to go home for the first time and during the Christmas season and pretty much, you know, tell everybody what Owen Carney wrote on the whiteboard at the end, which is, we own this state. And I got you at least once. And I think there was a lot of pride today that was shown. And I'm really happy. I don't know if I came across this week in my coverage, so I'll just say it now. I love this week. I love this week for what it is. And we talk all the time about college football and what it has to do with the playoff and, you know, all rankings and money and all this stuff. Today is about going out there and winning a football game, because you just don't want to hear about it for the next 364 days. And Illinois has heard about Northwestern and being dominated by Northwestern for a good long period of time. And I'm just so happy for guys like Brandon Peters, who I wrote a feature about today, and Owen Carney, who I wrote a feature about today. And, you know, Chase Brown gets to see his mom for the first time. His mom lives in, he and his twin brother, Sydney, are both Canadian twins. Mom came across the border for the first time, you know, this weekend to go watch their sons play football for the first time. And Chase just broke 1,000 yards today, and he gets to beat Northwestern for the first time. And hell, Brett Bielema gets to beat Northwestern for the first time and do something that Lovie Smith never did, Bill Cubitt never did, and Tim Beckman very rarely did, which was the last time Illinois won was in 2014, and he never beat Northwestern in Champaign. So this program is moving in a direction that I feel like is when you play. I asked Brett this, I asked a whole bunch of players this, and I'll write about this later on next week, or, you know, real soon, is that, you know, I think November was Illinois' best month in terms of how they looked and how they played. And if this is it, and they finish the 2021 season at 5-7, and we'll get maybe into that, Larry, later on in this podcast. But if this is it, then Illinois played their best at the end of the year. And I think that there's a lot that Brett Bielema can build on that for, you know, winter conditioning, and Tank Wright can get them in the indoor facility this winter and get them motivated to play a really important 2022 season based off of how they played in this last month. And, you know, they were able to win a game against, you know, Minnesota on the road, and it kind of got jump-started by a win against Penn State on the road. And then they were able to be really, really competitive and almost pull out a victory against Iowa, who apparently is going to go to Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship game now. And they were up 10-0 on the Hawkeyes two weeks ago. And so, and they were able to win a rivalry game for the first time in a long time. And in dominant fashion. And so I think that there's a lot to be said for this 5-7 season. And Larry, you know, when you hired me in August and I started covering training camp, if you'd have told me 5-7, I think that would have exceeded my expectations for the 2021 Illini. And I think a lot of guys leave that locker room maybe for the final time feeling pretty darn good about themselves. And I'm really happy for some of those guys because they've left that locker room enough feeling pretty bad about themselves.
Well, and I think you're right that there's a starting of a, you have to change a culture. And today was a big step in that direction. And you're right, Matt, when you and I talked last summer, you were saying on the high end, if every ball bounces the right way, 6-6, this team could be 3-9 or worse. I mean, that's possible. And when you think about taking the core of this team and what they've done to go 5-7, and you're right, to have a shot, you take away a 100-yard school record kickoff return, and you take away a pick six late in the game, both these things happening in Iowa, Illinois is right in that game, and they maybe win that game. They were a ball bounce away from winning at Purdue. They were a ball bounce away from beating Maryland. So it's
yeah. I mean, let's make it simple, Larry. They lost seven games, and I think five of them they were in the ball game.
Yeah.
Not only were they in the ball game, but they probably left the stadium thinking we probably should have won the game.
Yeah. And I'll make the argument even that I think that if you had any kind of offense that could sustain any kind of drives against Wisconsin, that puts that game is in. It's 24-0 as you look back, and that's the way it went in the record books. But it's a game that wasn't that lopsided.
I look back at, and I asked this, it's funny you mentioned this, Larry, because my feature about Brandon Peters, I look back at.
Really good, by the way.
You know, well, thank you. It's always nice to have your boss think you actually do good work. I look back at Brandon Peters' season. Okay, he comes back for a reason. And I think everybody was excited about the idea that, you know, if Brandon can replicate the way he finished 2019 with that bowl game against Cal and start that year the way everybody thought he could, you know, Brandon was going to be set up for a pretty good year. And you look at that first quarter and I know they didn't score any offensive points, but they drove the ball right down the field. And, you know, they were moving the ball and doing everything that fans wanted. They were throwing passes to Luke Ford, throwing passes to Isaiah Williams, throwing passes to other people. I mean, and completing stuff, moving the ball down the field. And then he damn near breaks his collarbone, you know, in the beginning of the second quarter. And now Brandon's hurt again. And then he, you know, has to rehab it and get back. And now he's kind of all out of sync. You know, the Maryland game happened, and it was probably one of Brandon's embarrassing moments, probably as a leader and as a quarterback. Gets the starting job taken away from him, gets hurt again in the Wisconsin game, multiple injuries in the Wisconsin game. Had to take his helmet away from him in the second half so he wouldn't think about going back out there. Then has to rehab all that, get all that back taken care of, then gets to the bye week, and Bielema kind of brings him in for the bye week meeting and says, look, you're our starting quarterback because you've earned it and you've worked your butt off, and I'm going to reward you. But I am so happy that he played his last – this is his last game that he ever plays at Illinois. He played his best one of the year. And I think that that's really important. And I think that he looked like the Brandon I thought we were going to see in the preseason, because if you look at Brandon from the spring game and you look at Brandon where what I saw in August, I mean, there were a lot of things that you could point to and say there's things that, you know, are going to happen that are really going to be positive for this Illini offense if Brandon Peters can do some things in the passing game. Well, against – you know, it was funny because, you know, Mike and Ked were sitting right next to me in the press box today. And I said it would be the most stupidest game plan in the world for Illinois to start tossing it around today against the Big Ten's worst rushing defense. So the one thing I know that Illinois does is run the football. So just run it against the worst rushing defense and win this football game. And of course, Tony Peterson comes out and scripts plays for Brandon to throw it all over the parking lot today. And it works out great because we looked up the scoreboard. It's 14-0, and Northwestern flat just basically quit because they knew that they don't have a kind of team that can survive a comeback attempt like that. So I was really happy that Brandon was able to get some confidence. We figured out today, I joked with him that he can't dance. Because his whatever the heck that was after he threw the touchdown pass to Isaiah Williams is not something that you want to replicate like Cam's later on tonight. It's just a good feeling. And I even joked with him today that, you know, the other school that he has a degree from today, I hear they won a big game. And Brandon looked at me and goes, yeah, I think I'm the only one in the locker room that went 2-0 today. Yeah. You know, having having some pretty big pride for Michigan's big win today. So big win for Brandon, a big game for him, big game for Tony Peterson. I thought against a defensive minded head coach like Pat Fitzgerald, I think he basically undressed Northwestern's defense today, and the play calling was brilliant and did everything that you would think, except for maybe you want some of those field goals to turn into touchdowns. But short of that, I mean, again, if and when, you know, this offense continues to progress under Tony Peterson in the offseason, you know, I think that they have a game and they have a month, I think, in November that they can point to and say, we did some pretty good things. You know, they did some good things against Iowa. They've done some good things today against Northwestern. And in the run game, I think they did some pretty darn good things against Minnesota. So, you know, I think it's really important that they're playing their best football right now. And I do think that sometimes coach speak is coach speak for a reason, but I do think Bielema is right when he says, if you pulled 13 other Big Ten teams right now, I don't think that they'd want to play in Illinois next week. I really don't. I think that a lot of that has to do with this coaching staff and these seniors that really bought into the idea that there was still something to play for today, and they showed it.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point with Tony Peterson, and he's somebody who has been very maligned, and look, some of it warranted this season.
Quarterback, it was his quarterback, and so I think that they've been joined to the hit that way.
Yeah, you're exactly right. When he came out in the very first pass was downfield completion to Isaiah for 20 some odd yards. I'm like, wait a minute, okay, here we go. And I think that, one, you're right, great play calling. I thought the touchdown run to get the scoring started to Barker was a very smart play, well drawn up play to send Luke Ford out to take the linebacker with him that opened things up. Very creative, very open. You take advantage of Barker's athleticism. But you mentioned Brandon Peters as well. Great graphic during the game on BTN that talked about the last three games, his quarterback rating was like 145. And when you think about Brandon Peters and what he's done at Illinois, that is a gaudy number, especially what he's done this year. But again, to your point, the injuries, the inconsistencies, and he's got a new OC he's working with and a new scheme and all those things. But I think the last four games, to your point, he's been very effective. I thought he was very controlled today. He seemed very confident today. And we haven't seen that from Brandon Peters week in, week out, except to your point, in the month of November. So even though it, you know, again, appears that, you know, he now moves on and ends his Illinois career, I agree with you. And that's why I really enjoyed reading your piece on IlliniGuys.com, talking about the things that he did. We talk about the defense as well. They were outstanding again. I know really wanted to deny that last touchdown. You could hear the roar of the crowd calling for that defensive stop. Some of the starters came back in to try to make that happen if they could. And that's something too, they really wanted to make happen if at all possible. And they didn't, but still a 47-14, what a way to finish up this regular season, to your point, on a high note, and a way to point to not just to the players returning or the recruits coming in, but as you go into the transfer portal and look for some key pieces, you can say, look at what we build in just in 1 year. You know, we put together, I've got to go look this up, but this is one of the, if not the best first year seasons or best seasons a first year coach has had at Illinois. You've got to go back to maybe.
Yeah, I think it was Mike Cagney that put that together, and he's right. It's 5-7 is definitely a I don't want to say a banner year, but
it's a high watermark.
It's a banner year. It's a high watermark. Yeah. Illinois football. And I think that Brett is disappointed by that. I think he's disappointed by the idea that 5-7 is something that is a great first year at
Illinois.
I don't think that he wanted that to be the case. I think he wanted it to be an 8-4. I think he wanted it to be a 9-3 potentially. I will say this. I think when you look at the defense, first of all, let me finish, because I know that on this podcast, this version of this podcast, weeks before, Brandon Peters has been much maligned.
Sure.
The last three games, Larry, you can only play the team that you're in the stadium with. And Brandon Peters in that stadium was the best quarterback on the field. Let me put that in perspective for people. Next week, Iowa is going to be in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium playing for a Big Ten championship. And Illinois has a better quarterback than Iowa is going to put on the field.
Agree.
That's how close Illinois is under Brett Bielema to getting something done in the Big Ten West, if you really, really think about it. Flipping to the defense, the emergence today again, and I was so happy he played well again today, of Isaiah Gay. on the outside has been a real revelation. I'm just finishing a piece actually on Owen Carney, because if we've learned anything today, please don't give Owen Carney the whiteboard ever again. only hilarious things happen when Owen Carney writes on the whiteboard. But his mate over at outside linebacker on the other side has really had a lot of success because a lot of people have been focusing on 99 Owen Carney. Well, Isaiah Gay, I think, has had now 8.5 tackles for loss, and I think 1.5 sacks, and has just been an absolute beast on the other side over the last three games. And that's against Minnesota, Iowa, and Northwestern, all Big Ten West opponents. And here's a guy that I think the coaching staff honestly has benched, because he got benched during the middle of the year in favor of Seth Coleman. And, Brett Bielema has been overjoyed by the idea that, once again, just like this football team, Larry, the month of November was really kind to Isaiah Gay, and he's been really happy at the idea that senior was able to have the kind of final month to his college career that he's been able to establish. And I thought that he was really key today with, establishing the idea that if they had Marty in at quarterback, when Northwestern had Marty in at quarterback, they weren't allowed to do the perimeter quarterback runs that they normally like to do. When they had Helinski in there, Isaiah Gay was able to be a disruptive force in the pass rush to make his throws even more difficult. They really got a pass rush today, and you can credit the two guys on the outside for that. And I think this defense, I think it's been a 16 point per game difference between last year and this year.
Yeah, you're right.
That is why Ryan Walters is now a $1 million coordinator at Illinois, and I believe the first one in school history. Mm-hmm. Bright things are ahead. And I think you look at, while you lose Carney, you lose Gay, you lose Tony Adams, you got 8 starters returning on a defense that I think is pretty good. And if they get any kind of depth whatsoever, I think they're going to be pretty salty at the beginning of this 2022 season when it kicks off. And I think spring football could be really, really interesting when Brett Bielema and Ryan Walters and the staff have a full off season to figure out how they want to attack teams, next year on their schedule. So I think there's a lot to be said for just winning this football game, winning it convincingly, winning it in dominant fashion, and having something that you can point to for a good long period of time, several months of motivation before you kick off spring football and you kick off fall camp next August.
And it has been a long time since there's been an Illini fan base or coaching staff or team that can go into a season feeling like this. And you're exactly right. It was exciting to watch. And I know it was great to be right there. Matt Stevens, 47-14 Northwestern, a great job all season long. And of course, we'll have you on the Illini Guy Sports Spectacular at all of our different stations all across the Midwest for more on this game coming up this week as we begin to wrap up the season and look to see what happens from here. There is that slim chance of maybe doing something in the postseason. We'll know by the time we talk again. But, hey, great stuff. As always, look forward to reading your stuff on IlliniGuys.com.
Not a problem, Larry. I appreciate it. And I've talked to some of our radio friends, and they're really, really happy with what we're doing with the Sports Spectacular show. And I know that that's been a big project for you. So we're really, really thrilled about what we have going on throughout the entire winter months. And as we get through, into the spring, and then as we transition into another sports season. So I'm really excited about it.
Absolutely. Great work again here. I know we can't wait to read the rest of your stuff here as the team wraps up their season. And to have that inside track as well with Coach Bielema and the staff in terms of things they're working on. Matt, all the best, and we'll talk to you soon.
Not a problem. Thanks, boss. Right.
Yep, you got it. That's the Eye on the Illini podcast. Once again, it's 47-14, Illinois with a big win over Northwestern. Stay with us on IlliniGuys.com for more podcasts and more complete coverage and analysis of Illini sports. Go Illini!